మమ జ్ఞానతిమనందు జ్ఞానంచిన శలాకయ చక్షుషోన్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీజుటాపరకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవంశ శ్రీరూపం సగరజాతం సహగణరగనాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిచనసాయుజం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదం సహగణలలితాశివిశాఖం. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. విజేత నోద్ విజేత జనాధీరో జనం చోద్వే జాయన్నతు అతి వాదం స్థితిక్షేత నావమ్యేత కాంచన దేహాం ఉద్దిశ్య పాశువా వైర్యం కూర్యాం న కేనచిత్. Never.
Never.
Udvijeta
should be disturbed or frightened.
Janat,
because of other people.
Dhira,
a saintly person.
Janam,
other people.
Cha,
also.
Udvijayet
should frighten or disturb.
Na,
never.
Never.
To
indeed.
Ativadam,
insulting or harsh words.
Titiksheta,
he should tolerate.
Na,
never.
Avamanyeta,
should belittle.
Kanchana,
de,
or anyone.
Deham,
the body.
Udisha,
for the sake of.
Pashuvat,
like an animal.
Vayam,
hostility.
Kuryat,
you
should create.
Na,
never.
Kenachit,
with anyone.
A saintly person should never let others frighten or disturb him.
And similarly, you should never frighten or disturb other people.
He should tolerate the insults of others and should never himself belittle anyone.
He should never create hostility with anyone for the sake of the material body, for he would thus be no better than an animal.
Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has stated,
Trinara Bhishani Jaina, Taror Iva Shahishnana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari.
One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street.
One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige and ready to offer all respect to others in such a state of mind.
One can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly.
A Vaishnava should never disturb any other living entity with his body, mind, or words.
He should always be tolerant and never belittle others.
Although a Vaishnava may act powerfully against the demons for Lord Krishna's sake, as did Arjuna, Hanuman, and many other great devotees, a Vaishnava becomes very meek and humble in regard to his own reputation.
ముఖం కారెట్టి వాచ్యం పంపం కారీ గిరిం జాగ్రత్త మహం వందే శ్రీ గురు. A Vaishnava should never disturb any other living entity with his body, mind, or words. In the verse you see this ativadams. Too much speaking. Ativadams. Too heavy speaking. We have ati ahar, overeating. Ati bhakti, chor lokon. Too much devotion is a sign of a thief. So this ati, too much. Ativadams. Heavy speaking. And in purport is explained that we shouldn't disturb the living entities with our body, mind, or words. In Gita also, Krishna says the same thing in 17th chapter. Anudvegyam karam, vakyam. That one should not speak in a heavy way. One should not speak in a way to disturb others. Satyam priyam hitam chaya. But rather one's words should be satyam, truthful, priyam, pleasing, hitam, chaya, and beneficial for others. Sadhya abhyasanam chaiva vanmaya tapa uchite. This is austerity of the speech in the mode of goodness. Vanmaya tapa, austerity of speech. To not speak in a way which disturbs others. Now, interestingly enough, in commenting on that verse, Prabhupada in lecturing, he actually mentions that this is a social convention and is not relevant for the preachers of Krishna consciousness. He says that. He says, because sometimes the preacher has to speak in a confrontational way. Actually, this is it's interesting when we're reading this section of Bhagavatam, because we see in this section particularly, there's Uddhava Gita, there's instructions to Uddhava. We see that there's many, many elements which are indicative of the slightly different moods of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like we were reading last few days about the sannyasis, that they should only approach seven houses and be satisfied with whatever is acquired from that. And we quoted in that reference, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Haridas Thakur and Mukunda to Pratigore Giye Giye Koro Ebika Bhaji Krishna Bolo Krishna Koro Krishna Shika, that you go to every house, Proti Gore Giye Koro Ebika, and you do this begging in every house. So it's a little different. This is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we were discussing last evening. Prithiviti Ache Joto Nagaradigram. All over the world, Joto Nagaradigram, that many towns and villages there are. Every town, every place. Sabatra Prochar. In them all, there will be the preaching of my name. But in the end of the Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna that idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya karachana na chakshushushavevacham na chamanya abhishuti. This should not be explained to those who are not devoted, who are not austere and inclined to austerity and tapasya, who are not pious, who are not devoted to me, and are not inclined to hear from me, and not to those who are envious of me. And in Gita, another place, Krishna says, Yesham to antagatam pavam jananam punyakarmanam. Only those who have completely finished all their sinful activity and are engaged in the pious activities, bhajante mam dridabrata, they can begin the worship of me. They can begin. Bhajante mam. This is pious and free from sin. So Krishna very exclusive. In Bhagavad Gita, very exclusive, actually. And very high demands. And Krishna demanding very high level. And he's not easy to achieve, to approach. And actually seeing this situation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lamenting, well, what hope have they got in the Kali Yuga? Where is the Punyakarmi? Where is the person who has performed pious activities? Antagatam Pavam, finished all his sinful activities, inclined to austerities, inclined to hear about me. Where is that person? What does Samahatma Sudulava? This is very rare. Very rare. So then, what? In Kali Yuga, there's no hope? In Kali Yuga, there's no chance. Kali Yuga finished. Condemned aged. So there's a difference in the mood, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's therefore last night we were discussing the Parama Karuna, Mahabharanaya Avatar. He's gone against the convention, the usual official policy of Bhagavan. The usual demands of the Supreme Lord. He's abandoning that policy out of kindness, and seeing the predicament of the Kali Yuga, the fallen souls in the Kali Yuga. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually he comes and he creates a lot of disturbance. That song in the morning is there when you're in Mayapur in the Purukkumar in the morning time. Udilo Aruna Puravabhagi. In the Puravabhagi, in the eastern direction, Udilo Aruna, the burning gold, the red burning Arun, reddish Arun, burning huge sun is arising on the eastern horizon of Gaudadesh. Udilo Aruna. Puravabhage, Dvijamani, Gauda Amani Jage, and the best of the Brahmins, Dvijamani, the jewel of the Brahmin boys, Dvijamani, Gauda Amani Jage, he gets up from bed, Bakarda Samuha, Loyla Shate, Gela Nagara Braji, and taking the devotees, he goes out into the villages. And what does he do? He's singing, and he's Gaurachandra Bole. He's singing out. He's loudly chanting, calling out. Ji jago, Gaura Chandra Bole. Wake up, sleeping souls. He's disturbing them. He's disturbing them at that time in the morning. And the devotees are commenting that this is a good sign. When the materialists feel disturbed, this is a good sign. This means that we are authentic Mahaprabhu Sampradaya. And we're doing something right. And this is where properly representing the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when the materialists are disturbed. Oh, they're complaining. Oh, this noise you're making. All this chanting. All this. You know, well, let's complain. Let's complain to the council. Complain to the police. Make a case. We're disturbed. It's very disturbing. Yes, this is authorized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu movement. He's calling out, wake up, get up. Gaura Chandra Bole, Kota Nidra Jayo Maya Pishajira. How long will you remain? He's not satisfied. He's not accepting. The mood here a little bit different. Even in Gita, Krishna says, Na Budhi Bedam Janayet Agyanam Karma Sanginam in the third chapter. Agyanam Karma Sanghi. Those who are attached to fruitive activity and sense enjoyment. Agyanam. An ignorant person, na buddhi bedam, don't disturb their minds. Just let them carry on fulfilling their material desires, and gradually, you know, they'll make progress. Gradually, just don't disturb them, he's saying to Arjuna. In the purports to those verses, however, Krishna says that the devotee is more merciful than the Lord, because he takes also all kinds of risks to disturb those who are, you know, happily engaged in their material lives. The devotee goes out of his way to actually to change to wake them up. Actually, we don't like being woken up. This is the nature of the kind of way, and happily dreaming away there, and when you hear the alarm, how do you feel usually? Ah, wonderful. You don't feel like that. You know, you're disturbed. You feel angry. You know, who is this? What are you? Oh, I was having a nice dream there. Why are you disturbing my... This is a very nice dream. But that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exactly doing. Ji jago, wake up. What are we disturbing? Oh, we're disturbing their illusion. Hey, you're disturbing my illusion. You know, how dare you? This is a very good illusion. Yes, but it's just an illusion. Energy Oshori Maya Nashi Bada Lagi. I bought the medicine to cure you of this illusion. Harinama Mahamantra Lao Tumima, you just take this medicine and you'll be cured of this illusion. And he's coming. Energy Oshori Maya. I bought this medicine. This is the purpose. What is that? Tomar loite ami hoinu avatar. To specifically to deliver you, I've incarnated. I've come for this purpose. Ami vina bandu aro keyache toma. Besides me, where is your friend in this world? That is the real friend, the person who disturbs us, who actually comes and shatters our illusion. He is our real friend. And those that allow us to go on living in that illusion, and are part of that illusion, and quite happy with us in illusion, and don't like to disturb us, they're our enemies. And this is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's not happy. Karta ahamiti manyate, ahankara vimudatma. This is the nature of the conditioned life. That they're thinking that everything is okay, and my life is fine, and leave me alone. The devotee has to be very confrontational in order to deal with the. He has to sometimes speak very strong words. He says otivad. Sometimes the devotee has to use strong words in order to shatter the illusion of the materialists. And this is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And another example is Narad Muni. Another example is Krishna has his mood. Krishna has his mood. It's very it's exclusive. It's Krishna's mood. We have to be qualified. But even the devotees, Narad Muni also, goes out of his way to disturb the materialists. It seems to be the equation of the devotees, or Prabhupada says the devotees understanding the real desire of the Lord. Actually, Krishna wants us, but he has his way of presenting things. But the devotee, just like, actually in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he mentions about surrender to him and devotion to him, actually what's the word? Rarely. Out of all the 700 verses in the Bhagavad Gita, 700, there's only about less than 10 verses that mention anything, even 5 verses that actually mention anything about devotion. You can count them. There are not many verses that talk about bhakti. There's a few. And, there's a few where Krishna says, man mana, maya shakta mana, mama shraya. Only a few verses, not many. And then he goes back again into, other topics. Pious activities, karma, vana, sham, dharma. It's actually, therefore, the chapter is the Rajaguyam. It's the confidential. It's not so easy to find in Krishna's teachings. What is that? That, ye bhajanti tamam bhakta mayi te teshu chapiham. Those who worship me, mayi te, they are in me. Teshu chapi aham, and I become interested in them. I become a friend to them. This is confidential. And this is why this is Krishna's mood. Because, it's a rare thing for when we do Krishna bhajan and we begin to serve Krishna, then Krishna becomes controlled by that. He has to give, he gets off the official platform as the Parameshwara, the Supreme Lord, the Maheshwara, the Great Controller, the Purushottam, the Supreme Person, the Supreme Authority, and he becomes Bhaktavatsala. He becomes, he gets emotionally involved. His heart, he becomes reciprocatory, like a friend, and a relationship develops. So that's something that Krishna remains, is exclusive. He's not so inclined to just freely make himself available in that way. And therefore all of these, qualifications are established. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a different mood. Even we don't want. Even we're not interested. He personally will he'll come into our life and he'll make himself available. He'll make himself disturb your whole life and make him the goal of your life. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy. We were talking about Narad Muni, that, He wasn't a Narad Muni. First of all, he appeared to Vyasadeva and he said, what have you done? You know, all of this Vedic literature, you've made it, you've actually done a disservice because you've made it more difficult for the conditioned souls to get to the real point, which is Bhagavad Bhajan. But you've written all these Vedic literatures and you've actually, you know, confused the issue. So therefore, you have to rectify your mistake and you have to write one book which simply establishes clearly the highest Dharma Projita Kaitva Atra Parama, herein the Supreme is established. One book that clearly establishes what is the real highest goal, and that is loving Krishna and devotional service to Bhagavat Bhajan. Worship of Krishna, devotional service to Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam is that one book, which is full about the activities of the devotees serving the Lord and the pastimes of the Lord, and simply hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Sravan. Simply by this activity of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we're serving Krishna. Nittam Bhagavat Sevaya. Just by hearing about Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam, we're serving Krishna. And so many other examples of Narad Muni. There is, you know, he was going out of his way to disturb the materialists. There was one time Daksha, and Prajapati Daksha, who had a very important service. His service to Lord Brahma was being a son, one of the sons of Lord Brahma, Prajapati Daksha. His service was to Prajapati, to populate the universe, you know. And therefore he was Daksha, he was expert. Prabhupada said, expert in creating progeny. He was a great lover, you could say. A very powerful Prajapati, progenitor of the mankind. And so he had his wife, Pancha Jani, and they produced 10,000 sons. Quite an effort. 10,000 sons. For the purpose of training them up, you know, or for the purpose of those sons also producing more progeny. And so before they entered family life, he sent them off to a place called Narayana Shara on the ocean, Arabian Sea, over there. I guess somewhere over there, Maharashtra site, near Indus River. And they were there, and why were they going there? Because he understood that in order for them to become good grihasthas, they have to first of all practice brahmacharya. And this is the vanashram system, that reserve that potency through the practice of brahmacharya, reserving that potency, building up that potency through the tapasya of brahmacharya, so that when it is the time, you can say, when it is released, then it's very powerful. Right? This is the process, and this is brahmacharya and grihastha, how they work in a symbiotic way. By strong brahmacharya, one can become very ideal grihastha, and that the children that such a grihastha produces can be very powerful, physically, health, and virya, strength, and also consciousness. When one does enter the act of copulation, and because of his brahmacharya, he's not bewildered during that activity, and he can remain in Krishna consciousness and in sattva-guna. And this can be transferred into the progeny, and in this way very high class progeny can be produced. This is the science, Ayurveda and Varnashram Dharma, very scientific. And that's why, you know, there's Kali Yuga Varna Sankara, because no one doing this, and therefore we're all low class persons and low quality progeny. What is that? The what would you call that? The genetics. You know, everything low class and mixed up, and therefore everybody crazy and disturbed in Kali Yuga, because this science, this science not known how to actually create a high class society not known. So they were off there doing their austerities, and then Narad Muni he noticed these young brahmacharis out there practicing austerity. So he went and preaching to them. He said, "Young men, you know, young boys, high ashvas." He said, "You know, here you are." He was very pleased by their brahmacharya. "Here you are. You are living such simple life. You know, practicing meditation. You're not entangled in all of this, you know, material development program. You're very satisfied with whatever comes of on its own accord. You're so close to liberation from this material world. And why go back? Why go back and get all entangled?" And because he's a very powerful preacher, they become convinced, 10,000 of them. All became his disciples, and they initiated them all into renunciation. They never went back. And Daksha was there waiting back, and when are those boys coming back? You know, they never came back. They never came back. They renounced and followed Narad. So he disturbed and the whole program. And actually, on that point, today is Srila Ramanujacharya's appearance day. Today, he Srila Ramanujacharya, he gave 700 sannyasis. He produced 700 sannyasis. 700. Srila Ramanujacharya's was 900 years ago, in the time of his preaching, Vishishta Dvaita philosophy, variegated oneness, which is part of our Gaudiya philosophy, accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Sampradaya. Srila Ramanujacharya, 700 sannyasis, 12,000 brahmacharis, and thousands of Grihastha disciples, all preaching Vaishnava philosophy on Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Vaishnava. Still very, very strong Sampradaya in South India, so his appearance day today. So, Daksha was, you know, okay, well, you know, that happened, that's life, you know, what to do. So he again approached Panchajani, his wife Panchajani, and then again another, I think 10,000 or maybe more sons, Salashkas, and then, oh yeah, we'll try again, you know, another 10,000 sons. So, he sent them off also to the same place. And then Narad also heard about this. More potential bhaktas. Good field for preaching. We can learn the strategies of preaching. We have to go to the good places, go to the colleges. College preaching, the young men. Actually, we're preaching in these places, in different places in the world, where oftentimes, like same here, where the students are away from home. Very good field for preaching. They leave their home, they're away from the mother and the comforts of home, and they're away in the foreign countries and they're studying. They're the ideal candidates for Narad Muni's party. Yeah. So all that Narad said to these guys, he just said, "Hey, you know the Vedic culture, that whatever your elder brother does, you have to follow the example." That was his whole strategy. You know, in Vedic culture, whatever your elder brother does, you have to follow the example. And they said, "Yes." That's all he said to them. And they also became his disciples and never returned. So actually, Daksha was very frustrated by this. There's a whole description in Bhagavatam of this incident and how Daksha cursed Narad Muni. He said, they call him sadhu. You are not sadhu, you are asadhu. You are deceitful, you are sly, you are cunning, you sneak in the background when we're not looking. You come in the back door, you're not honest. And you disturb the whole program of the proper arrangement of the civilized affairs and the progressive development. You're a very disturbing element in society. I curse you. I curse you. You'll never be able to remain more than 3 days in any place. I curse you. Of course, Narad Muni, he was very happy by this curse. He's a brahmachari, and he's always travelling anyway. You know, so this curse was a blessing, actually. One time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at the Ganga bathing, one Brahmin also... who was that? No, one Brahmin wanted to get into the kirtan of Srivas Thakur. And then he was banging on the door. Let me in. Let me in. We're qualified Brahmins. Bhattacharya, Chakravati, the respectable Brahmins of Navadvip. What are they doing? You should be inviting us to your home. You should be washing our feet. You should be serving us palatable eatables. and giving donation. You're not even letting us in. They were very angry. So Nimai, he was there on the bank of the Ganga bathing, and one Brahmin said, "You're not inviting us to your kirtans. I curse you. I curse you. You will never enjoy material enjoyment in this life. You will be bereft of material enjoyment." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he broke his thread. "I curse you. You will be bereft of material enjoyment." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was blessed. Prabhupada says, "Thank you, Goswami. You've blessed me. You've blessed me. You've just taken away my possibilities to enjoy, and only I will have service of Govinda. You've blessed me." So this is the mood of the blessings of the great Vaishnavas. And the disciples of Narada, actually Prabhupada said that all the followers of Narada Muni, they have to inherit this curse. This is the parampara. This is how parampara works. That parampara, or sampradaya. Sampradaya. Daya is giving, and sam means the complete. So everything is given in the sampradaya. So we're following we enter into the sampradaya, the line of Prabhupada, the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we get everything. We get everything. Everything that is there, it's all there in the line. You get connected, you get everything. You get everything. You get Vrindavan. You get Jugala, Kishore. You get everything. Because that's the line. That's what's in that line. You get it. So sampradaya, you get everything if you get connected. So similarly, you get the curse of Narada Muni. Well, Prabhupada said that this curse I also have got, because all the parents of my disciples, they've cursed me also. I've disturbed their plans and their sons they were sending to the colleges, and they had plans that they would be very materially successful and we would enjoy their success. And this Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he's come and disturbed the whole thing. So therefore Prabhupada said, "I was cursed by the parents of my young disciples, and I also, even though I have so many temples around the world and so many beautiful apartments for accommodation, just like up here, you can take a look at Prabhupada's rooms, very beautiful, very opulent, a national heritage building, and very, beautiful, very nice." And Prabhupada said, "I can't stay. All over the world I have so many nice apartments, but I can't enjoy them because I've been cursed by Narada Muni." And he offered, any of you want to help me and take this curse from me so I can stay in one place and write Srimad Bhagavatam, and my disciples, you take over this curse." And some of the devotees, great preachers, they accepted that curse. So this is the mood. This is the followers of Narada Muni. Prahlad Maharaj, he was there. He's a follower of Narada Muni, Prahlad Maharaj. Just like we have our Mataji's coming with a child in the womb. Very, very, very powerful. Because Prahlad, when he was in the womb, he heard the Bhagavad Katha. In the womb. Actually, Narada was preaching to his mother. That was the wife of Haranyakashipu. Kayaduti, I think. Kayaduti. Kayadu, yeah. So he was preaching to her. Actually, because they were waiting for Haranyakashipu to come back from these austerities, and so Narada was given a shelter in the ashram. So Narada is preaching to her. And Prabhupada says that she forgot everything because she was worried all the time, "When will my husband come home?" She couldn't focus on the instructions. She was kind of a little disturbed. But the child in the womb, he heard everything. Narada Muni heard everything. And when he took birth, and then from very young age, he was fully equipped with all the transcendental knowledge that he heard from Narada, and he was preaching at school, and the Sundar and Amaka, they were saying, "Well, we don't know where he's getting this information. We don't know where he's getting it. We're not teaching him." Haranyakashipu was chastising them. "What I sent you? We're paying so much school fees, and we're expecting you to train up these boys in diplomacy, in dealing with enemies, in politics, in all these demoniac skills." And when I ask him, "What is the best thing you've learned in school?" he says that Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Paranam Sevanam Arjanam Vananam Dasham. And they were saying, "Well, we don't know. We're not teaching him this. No one on our staff is teaching any of this stuff to him." And And you know, the boys were saying, "Where have you learned all this?" And Prahlad had learned it in the womb. Actually, he was initiated the shiksha and the instructions in the womb. So just how powerful the hearing is. And what was Prahlad's teachings? The boys were all there, and why disturb them? They're young boys; they have their whole life, all of their allotted enjoyment is there. And but Prahlad is not happy with that. He's not going to allow them to go on in that dream. You know, he's not going to just sit by and let them remain in their dream that you can enjoy material life. And what are Prahlad's teachings? They're young boys, and Prahlad's teaching them. That this pleasure of household life is sukham hi tucham. It is very insignificant. Sukham hi tucham means that you spit it away. It's insignificant. Very small thing. The happiness of man and woman coming together. This is what Prahlad's preaching to these young boys. This is useless. Tripyanti neha. There is no pleasure there. Tripyanti neha. It is devoid of satisfaction. Kripana bahuduka bhajai. But it is simply the cause of volumes. Bahuduka bhajai. It is the cause of volumes of suffering. You will have to bahuduka bhajai. You will have to endure volumes and volumes of misery. So is this satyam priyam hitam chaya? Is this pleasing words? No, this is very disturbing. And therefore, the devotee has this mood. And he's very confrontational. And destroys the illusion of the materialists. He pulls it out from under there. You know, he completely, you could say, you know, from the foundation. That's what Prahlad did there. That the pleasure you will get in your family life, tripyanti neha, is very insignificant and there is no satisfaction there. Okay, so the very foundation of material life has been removed. So then when the foundation is removed, then everything else collapses. And then what's the point in working so hard to, you know, build up a material a program for enjoying in this world, when no matter how successful I am, it's actually not going to give me any satisfaction? And these are the blessings of a Vaishnava. They remove they destroy the dream. There is no happiness in this world. And the Vaishnava tells us, and it's disturbing. And not only that, but the followers of Narada Muni and the followers of Prabhupada and Prabhupada's mood, they make it their business to disturb the materialist's dream. They make it their business to do that. That they can't, even though we're happy to chant Hare Krishna, and here we are in our temple and we can chant Hare Krishna and we're enjoying spiritual life, but actually we can't fully enjoy. We can't fully enjoy when we know that the rest of Melbourne is out there in dreaming. And misusing the opportunity that they have been awarded in the human form of life. It's so easy to take to Krishna consciousness, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made this process so easy. How can we sit by and not spread this Krishna consciousness program? How can we sit by and not spread it? So the devotee makes it his business to go and confront the materialists and awaken them from their illusory state. A saintly person should never let others frighten or disturb him, and similarly should never frighten or disturb other people. So we discussed from different points this verse this morning. Are there any questions? Driven under.
Thank you, brother. Very nice class, Rupert. Sometimes I distribute books, and sometimes people disagree with what I'm presenting, or our philosophy in general. and sometimes I get a bit heavy on them, and I feel a bit.
You
bad.
Get heavy on them.
Yeah. And sometimes I feel bad afterwards, like I don't know if that actually helped them in any way. No, I just kind of come crashing down like a ton of bricks and just tell them that Krishna is God and everything, and their philosophy is not very, is like a child's philosophy. And I walk away thinking, I don't know if that actually helped them at all. So, my question is like, you know, it should be, how do we wake them up but not like put them, at, totally put a bucket of water on them and just put them out, you know? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that. So.
Hmm. Interesting. In this verse, it does give us some kind of reference on that. That it says here that he should never create hostility with anyone for the sake of the material body, for he would thus be no better than an animal. So we have to perhaps look at our motivation. And I think last night I was giving that example of the you know, when you get a new printer. And you have to align the cartridges. And so you look at they print out the page and there's like the wobbly lines and then you have to pick the one which is the most. So that's our program, is to try to align ourselves as much as possible with the desires of the Lord. And the more we can get it straight in line, then the more we can become empowered. So with our preaching, similarly, Krishna Shakti Vina Tarinaha Pravartana, that it's Krishna who's doing the preaching. And we just have to align ourselves. And therefore the practice of the sadhana, the practice of purifying the consciousness is the technique for effective preaching. Because when we become a via medium, and it's not a matter of, you know, me and this person, the two egos clashing. And, you know, who will be the victor? Who will be victorious? You know, I don't want to take the book. No, I want you to take the book. And it's because there's an ego in there. Because we, or any other type of preaching, there may be some, you know, the alignment is not quite on. That we may have some other interest about our own, here it's talking about the body, but it also may be subtle. Or that maybe material remuneration. That we get some percentage of the profit. And that affects our heart. That affects our consciousness. Or it may be some subtle, not gross, but a subtle thing that, you know, we want to enjoy the prestige of being appreciated in the community as being a powerful preacher. And that is our weed. And that is growing alongside the creeper of devotion. And you know, our preaching is in sometimes even feeding that weed. So we have to, so what to do? Because we're conditioned souls and we have this desires. And therefore we have to purify ourselves of these weeds by the sadhana practices. By the purifying practices of archana and of nam bhajan. And in that way, regularly, koraya sevan, what is that? That bija, koraya sechan, shravan kirtan jole koraya sechan. We have to water the real devotional creeper through hearing and chanting. So the hearing and chanting purifies the heart. And then we can become more detached in the spreading the Krishna consciousness and in that more purified way, then we can be more effective in the hands of the Lord, and our preaching can become more effective because Krishna will help us more, and He will make us. Krishna will, because if we haven't got our own agenda mixed in there, then Krishna can utilize us more effectively and can empower us, and we can become more effective as a preacher. And by our association, we can transmit the transcendental energy. Krishna can work through us because the heart is clean and pure. And the people come in contact with us, they experience the spiritual touch, and they can be changed. So this is the method. It's not a matter of, you know, technique. It's a matter of becoming purified and allowing the Lord to do to work on the conditioned souls, and we just give them the opportunity. And we should be detached. All we need to do is give them the opportunity. And if we try our best in all the preaching efforts, we try our best. But ultimately, we can't control the outcome. And it's up to that living entity's. You know, they have the choice, and they make their choice. And we've done our service of giving them the opportunity, and that's it. And no, it's a fact that the more purified one's heart, then the more the more one can transmit the Lord's mercy and the more one's preaching can be effective. Mahatma Baba.
I have a few comments and my questions. First of all, I'll tell you my personal example. Last week I was in seminar, medical seminar. So I have to attend 5 seminars. That's why I couldn't come to your course. I wanted to, but it was about 3 months there, so I said, I will leave that. Now, the conditions already are telling. The lady was presented with 3 things. Either contraceptive pills or fibrillation or IUCD, intrauterine device, you know, so that we can't have babies. You know. So that's what the society is offering to women these 3 things. Either take the pills or fibrillation or intrauterine device, so that you have no baby. So that's how the condition is going on. So unless they come to Harina, that's what you're saying, that we have to preach. We can't be just happy in our own spirit.
Because the point is that the materialists are disturbing them.
Very much.
As a good example of it. They're being disturbed.
Very badly.
They're being indoctrinated in the values of sense gratification right from their childhood.
And television is the worst thing.
Huh?
Television. TV.
Yeah.
TV is the worst thing.
So, you know, they're being disturbed constantly. And the Prabhupada calls it a slaughterhouse. What hope do you have? You take birth in Melbourne. What hope do you have to, you know, become a sadhu? No chance. Even though you have a human body, but whatever chance there is, whatever inclination you may have had to God consciousness will be completely wiped out by the materialistic bombardment that you're exposed to in education, in entertainment, and everything. So they're constantly being disturbed. So a little bit more disturbance from the Hare Krishna devotees won't really make that much difference. Just like on the streets in Melbourne, there's so many people stopping them and disturbing them. So, you know, don't be afraid.
We are disturbing society, sure.
But our disturbance is their greatest blessing. Mm. Our disturbance is not like these other disturbances, because our, just like, you know, I'm so grateful. The devotees disturbed me. I was happy in my dream, happily dreaming away. And the devotees are not happy that I'm happily in my dream. And they said one thing to me. I remember the one message that sunk through, that no matter what you do in life and however successful you are, that you're still going to grow old and get diseased and everything you achieve will be lost. And that was it. I couldn't. There was nowhere to go from that one. And there's nowhere else. You can't get around that one because you're going to grow old, get diseased, and everything you achieve will be lost. And that's Divyagyan, and it affects you. And that disturbed me. It disturbed my whole approach to life. And I lost interest in material life. Because the whole thing is taken, you know, the whole thing is, the foundation of it is pulled out. And then everything is disturbed. And then you wake up, and then you feel so relieved and so appreciative of the devotees, you know, taking the trouble to preach. They didn't have to preach to me. They could have just let me keep walking down the street. But they took the trouble, and we're indebted. So we have to carry on the same kindness to others.
The second point I wanted to mention, what you mentioned, spiritual touch. We have 2 devotees, Shakti Manta and Buddhi Manta, Prabhu's, they are in Delhi. So I asked why Shakti Manta, when she was leaving Melbourne after living for 10 or 12 years. So I said, why do you want to leave Melbourne? You are so well guided. She said, I want my sons to be real brahmacharis. Point you were mentioning, real brahmacharis, so that they can really study hard and then you might come to us, Melbourne later. So she has got so much love for Melbourne that the picture that we get here so much. Ananda, I don't remember, he gave me a lift to one meeting in the city, 1973-74. And when I went there, I didn't know much about the meetings. Meeting. So, as soon as I entered, such bad smell, all, you know, all sorts of meat cut, so nice pieces, you know, so thin. One meat has been slicing. and I could not. And another fellow was so kind, he said, how long will you be here? I said, I don't know. Is it half an hour too much? He said, no problem. I can do my chanting. So he was waiting in the car for me, pick me up to temple. And so I could not even wait there for 10 minutes. It was such bad smell. And everybody just enjoying so much. So this is what is illusion, material energy. And giving service to Tesla Prabhupada always said that never think that you are free of material energy. Because he is always changing you, even to the last breath.
Mm.
So what I was telling you, that the spiritual test. The other day somebody was telling me the rivalry between Sydney and Melbourne. So he was saying that we are doing wonderful preaching in Sydney.
Hmm.
So I didn't want to say much. I said, what about Prasadam? You just give it away. Because nobody can give Prasadam.
Right. Let's see if this. You brought up the topic of leaving Melbourne. We're getting a little over time.
This temple is so sweet and nice, and the president
people. You brought up the topic of leaving Melbourne. I can tell you, you can't leave Melbourne. Impossible. Go and you die, Radha Balava. They don't let you leave Melbourne. Once you come to Melbourne, that's it. You're permanently designated Melbourne devotee. You can't get that out of your system. Who would want to leave? Because it's one of the best temples in ISKCON.
So I was pleased to see that Anandapur was waiting for me to take me back. I came to temple then because some sannyasi was staying upstairs. So somebody said, why don't you sleep in the
Maybe let's see anyone else. We've taken about 10 minutes. Let's see if anyone else has got questions. Anirudha Prabhu has a question.
Prabhupada gave the technique for preaching. He said,
yeah,
you're the most intelligent, you're the most educated, you're the most sophisticated, you're coming from an aristocratic family. And just give all up this license.
Yeah.
And take the Krishna. So it's, praise the person, but at the same time enlighten them.
Generally, the materialists are not disturbed by the devotees preaching because the devotees are so blissful. And I guess when you're miserable, then that's a little, in a way disturbing. But the devotees, they're not malice, and we're not. And the materialists, they appreciate that the devotees have that genuine concern, about me. And they're my real friends. And of course, when we're preaching, then it is nice to be, to preach in such a way that the materialists are pleased by our association. And at the same time, we remove their illusion. That's expert preaching. That they don't, like a doctor, when you go in there and it's not that they say, okay, onto the table, here's the knife, we're going to cut you open. A little intimidating, but they give you the drugs and everything, so you're kind of a little bit your guard is drops, and then you don't realize you're not so afraid. So the devotees are preaching like that. Yes, come enjoy some nice music, some nice, very nice prasadam, and enjoy. You can enjoy in the Hare Krishna temple also. Come and enjoy, chant and be happy. And we don't necessarily be ativad, that we speak in such a way that disturbs them. We speak in a way which is very pleasing, and at the same time remove their illusion and bring them to the reality of Krishna consciousness. That's expert preaching. Prabhu.
It's got a lot to do also with the time, place, and the circumstance. I mean, like you said, on the side of the Thakur was preaching, he was combating the Goswami casteism, and he was disturbing people. they try to kill him. So, you know, in some circumstances, the devotee, you know, due to the situation, may, you know, be in a very difficult situation. And, you know, I think sometimes in the current situation, what we're doing is multi-faith, interfaith work, you know, where we meet other religious communities and we say, you know, you're really good guys and, you know, we really appreciate your devotion and but I was thinking, you know, with Bhaktisiddhanta, so I was very tough, I wouldn't necessarily preach like that. But then, but it's interesting, he preached very strongly to the, you know, to the caste, Goswamis and others. But then he was also, to the governor and to other people, he was very friendly and accommodating. And so, you know, he, according to the circumstance, according to the situation, one has to be very sensitive to it and know when to chop. And also then went to, you know, what is it, thrust and parry as a swordsmanship. So it's a very, it's a science. Relating to what you were saying about being very, not being so egotistic.
Yeah. Whatever is going to be the best for that, for the development, for the progress of that, whatever is going to be the best way for that person to make progress in Krishna consciousness, that's what we'll do. That's the principle. Whatever it takes. And we're not attached to any style.
Another thing, you know, this one time, Prabhupada was at a pandal in Mumbai. Was it Delhi? I think it was in Delhi. And he was talking about the principle of parampara, serving knowledge and authority. And he called this hippie up onto the stage and was going to give him instructions, but then he ended up having an argument and yelling and shouting at this fellow in front of 10,000 people. The boys were like, ooh, what's going on? So, something to meditate
on. Anything else in today's?
During those days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Narada Muni was disturbing the individuals to come to their forest to tire on the spiritual person. Now the persons are more engaged in materialistic world, so tight that they can't spare any time to switch your advancement. So this is the best and the first medicine to...
Well, same process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used, that we go out and we make Krishna consciousness public. The simple process of the Naga Kirtan, by taking the chanting onto the streets, and the people, they hear, and the holy name enters into the heart, and that has effect. And by book distribution, distributing books, and by programs and festivals and Rathi Yatra and all of these programs, public, you know, we have to make Krishna consciousness public, and in that way the materialists stumble on Krishna consciousness and they get an opportunity for finding out about Krishna. We have to make the effort to facilitate them coming to Krishna consciousness. Even though they're very busy in their material lives, we have to preach. That's called preaching, pravachan, pushing. We have to push Krishna consciousness, push it into their lives.
Whenever possible, wherever possible.
Yeah, and there's so many ways, and we all combine together, and the temple is meant to be the base for the preaching mission, where the devotees come, and we get surcharged, we get empowered, we get we're nourished to go out and preach, and we get the training, and an inspiration. And then that's the purpose of the temple, as the base for the preaching center. And to bring the new people to the temple and then give them an experience, embassy of the spiritual world. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Rangarachana Bhagavatam ki, Jai, 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 Jai,